my cooking show?
I was talking about this in the kitchen with Will Gold at 5:30 the other morning.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 249 featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and welcome to the horror show, full of your favourite bad influences, as well as the king and queen of gasoline.
Petrol.
I've just realised, right, the intros is basically your awful ever after.
Jesus Christ, this week's guest are James and Hannah, or Han and Jim, or, no, I'm not going to keep making nicknames up front. Yes, Jim and Hannah of the mighty, mighty Hot Milk, who have released a fantastic, fantastic record last week, and we are here to celebrate that today.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you've listened to this podcast a bunch, you know Hannah and Jim have been on not only so many times we've probably lost count by now, but always cause chaos. I'm surprised they're ever allowed back on this podcast with the stuff they tell us and the stories they bring out. But they've released their debut studio album, A Call to the Void, on Music for Nations. It is an absolutely belter of a record. So much lovely reception. We thought we need them back on to celebrate it all after releasing a trio of EPs and just all the chats we've had from in the past as well. But the literal best Northern degenerates you will ever know who happen to write catchy versus emotional alternative bangers. I'm just very proud to see them reach this milestone and all the wild antics they've gotten up to in between.
Yes, we talk absolute everything and some bollocks. Some might say it's a 51-49 split, but not me, not me. We talk everything from UFOs, introducing, here's a good one, introducing Dave Grohl to a puppet. Can't say we've talked about that before.
No.
Falling in and out of love with songs. Lars Ulrich gets a mention.
Mark Hoppus gets a mention. There's talk of drugs. We talk about Jim's producing. And Hannah introduces us to a different character. Let's just say that. You'll find out in a little bit.
What's that about dark genitalia? I don't know. Listen on to find out.
Do you know what? Honestly, I know we joke about these two being absolutely mayhem because they are.
They fucking, yeah, they are.
But in between, they always bring out some lovely sentences and beautiful stories that is just makes it very wholesome, but mad at the same time. And yeah, we love them. They're one of our favorite people to ever have on here. So, you know, just listen to this. You laugh. You might question your sanity, but it's a good chat.
Yeah, well, as we've done these podcasts, it has made me think about how poor PR people are trapped with absolute nutters. And it's made me think back to think how much Hayley Connolly must have gone, oh, God, I've got to have Sean talk to Kerrang today or some shit like that. Because absolute fucking chaos. We, yeah, It's mad. Like, we started this conversation. I was like, I wonder if we're going to even talk about the album.
We do.
Luckily, yeah, luckily for everyone, we fucking did. We did. But as always, chaos. But massive, massive love to Jim and Hannah. Hannah and Jim. We fucking love seeing them. They've always been fucking absolutely delightful to us. If you don't laugh doing this, you're dead inside. So there you go.
That's a guarantee. A Sean Smith guarantee. Before we get into it, just a lovely reminder, please go and support us. We have our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin. If you've ever laughed at these, and we know you have, honestly, the community in there, it makes it all worthwhile. There's all extra bonuses and everything like that. And you continue to fund this to happen each and every week. So it's worth it. Also, go and give us a follow at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram. And let us know the most chaotic moment of this episode. I think that would be very interesting. But without any further ado, get straight into it. This is Jim and Han of Hot Milk on episode 249 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin!
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 Greetings, Earthlings!
Hannah, nice. I like it.
So is this the Joe Rogan podcast, right? We're going to talk about some UAPs, right? That's what we're going to do.
100%. I am up for that. Like we just spoke about before we started, I was up all night looking at UFO shit.
Oh, you can think too much, you know. You can think too much. You shouldn't go down staying up all night.
But yeah, they are at the bottom of the sea, so I will never be going in the sea ever again.
I don't think they're off the coast of Benidorm, mate. You're all right.
Is it too soon to say that you could probably get a submarine to go have a look?
Oh. James, you're a naughty boy with that one.
James? Some billionaires died. Come on, man. Oh, money's gone.
I just feel bad for that kid. You know what? I was at Glasgow when that had just happened and I was pinging off my tits, but felt so anxious the whole weekend because I felt bad for that kid that just went dragged down by his dad. What a shit, man. I just felt so, I feel bad. And I ruined my day now. Thanks. So breathing underwater, that's what that's about. I'm joking.
Yeah, if your dad's a billionaire, whatever happens to your dad's family is fair game, I think. So, yeah, fuck you. Fuck them. Fuck them all. Fuck them all. Anyway, this week's guests are Jim and Hannah of Hot Milk.
Hey.
How are you guys?
I'm having a coffee. I am all right. Just my haircut. Going for my haircut. Didn't charge me. It's great. She was like, happy album release week. Have a free haircut. I was like, fuck yeah, it's already paying for itself, this album.
It was worth it then.
Take your hat off.
No, because I need to wash it. It's got stuff in it, isn't it? And also, it's a podcast, you dickhead. You can't see me.
Have you had the monk cut? Is it just the sides?
Yeah, I have done.
This is at the top.
You told me to do it, and I only listened to you.
Yeah, the inverted mohawk, I call that. Yeah, the inverted mohawk. Just up the middle of it. Oof.
Odds that you do that next.
No, God, no. God, no. I'm that age now that I think if I do shave my head, it is never coming back.
Ooh.
You got to look after that candy floss, haven't you? Look after that candy floss. Water touches it, it just dissolves.
I've got plenty of hair to give him. If worse comes to worse, it's all good.
From your back second crack.
Exactly. Match it all together in some weird wig. Oh, that's a good business. That's how I become a millionaire.
No,
I just start doing that.
No? No. You're not fucking shaving your shoulders and selling it. Fuck that.
But anyway, it's so nice to see you guys again. Always a pleasure. I mean, it's probably the 100th bloody time we've done something like this. I'm sure you're fed up with seeing our faces by now. But how's things? Very exciting week. The album's coming out, but I'm sure you guys are just getting up to all sorts of trouble and mayhem and everything behind the scenes as always.
Yeah, it's scary. It's a scary week. Scary week. We call this week Scary Week. Welcome to Scary Week, everyone. No, it's it feels like, I don't know, like our debut album. Why has that not happened before this? You know what I mean? It's like, really? This is the first one? Again, like, you know, we didn't expect 2 years out and we didn't expect no one fucking wanted to sign us for ages. But, you know, it's just what it is. And I'm glad that we're here now. And I'm glad we built through our trilogy of EPs. Because I don't think we would have been ready, actually, like musically and like in terms of Jim, who produced it. Like, he were a bit shit at the beginning and you're not that shit now. So it's great.
I've graduated from shite to not so shite.
Really selling the quality of this album. I've noticed. I like it. Check out the new Hot Milk album. It's fucking dog shit.
I can't come in here and just be like, yeah, it's the fucking bee's knees, mate. It's the best thing you'll ever heard. Like, I'm sorry, but if we didn't undersell ourselves.
Everyone will just rip it from LimeWire, so the quality won't be there, so you won't hear how bad it is,
mate,
anyway.
What year is it? No one's fucking using LimeWire.
I'm on this new thing called Kazaa. You guys should check out.
Kazaa!
Have you seen that Deezer's still trying to do bits?
Are they?
Yeah. Deezer's still trying to do bits.
Did they survive being sued?
I think so. What, by Metallica? I had a CD of Deezer, I think, back in the day. I'll put it in my computer and download Deezer that way. I don't know. I just seem to have it. Or Napster. That's the one.
That's
Metallica.
Yeah,
no, that's
Is it not the same? They're both blue. In my mind, they're both blue. So I'm like, that's the same thing.
Must be
just
the same.
Just colour-coded them. It's just colour-coded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Napster that Metallica took on. Isn't it mad now, looking back on it? At the time, we were all like, shut up, you greedy fucker. You want too much money, you robbing bastard. Lars Ulrich, you can't even fucking drum. And now we're all like, oh, I wish I'd listened to Lars Ulrich and fucking got behind him so I could fucking have some money so I could live. Who would have thought the tennis playing drumming millionaire would have been fucking spot on and we were wrong?
Hindsight's a bastard, but here we are.
Imagine if it turns out his drumming is actually in time and we're all out of time as well.
Because he came from the bottom of the sea. He came from the bottom of the sea, that man.
He drums in an arrhythmia rhythm. Is that right?
He's got an irregular heartbeat drumming skill, basically. Pop some hands, mate. Down the stairs.
I hope he hears this.
Lars, if you're listening, we love you. And one time I watched you really fuck it at Hacky Sack in Chicago. And I still clapped you.
Hacky Sack?
You know what? It was that game Cornhole. You know that do what Americans do when they've got nothing else? They just fucking throw beanbags in a hole. Really shit at Lars Ulrich. Not very good at throwing at all.
That's good. Good to hear. Good to hear. That's the fucking, that's the behind the scenes content we're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I just love the fact you're milling around and stuff like that's happening.
Well, it's because in Chicago, Lollapalooza, all the dressing rooms are in the guest area. So you can imagine what like horrendous things happen. And there's a free bar. And imagine the guest area being hundreds of people with just the dressing rooms. Like you can walk out just into the guest area. Like that, I think the chaos of it was quite cool. But the UK would never. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Didn't Metallica have Metallica World? I would have thought they would have kept themselves.
But this was a day that they weren't headlining. They were just hanging. Okay. They were just hanging out, man. They were just hanging out, throwing fucking beanbags in holes. The heights of rock and roll, my G.
Literally the heights. Well, as we're starting really chaotic and some stories like that, recently I did see a random sentence that you have said, so I kind of wanted the story behind that. No. If that's okay. It's nothing bad. It's just the mad combination of words that apparently you told Mark Hoppus to fuck off because he tried to make you soup.
That was a long time ago.
Right,
that was like 4 or 5 years ago. But I mean, James, can I tell the truth on this podcast? I don't know. Because it's going to go out to the people. So they're thinking they're rapping.
I mean, we always say this. I'm surprised we have more. Do like an hour podcast and I'm surprised you get more than 5 minutes content out of it.
Basically, I was going for, we were at the, remember those Simple Creatures had a little moment and they were doing bits. We went down to the show, got invited down. There's loads of people there. And I was going through a bit of stuff at the time. And I got a bit too carried away with the older things that you ingest. And I was shit-faced, basically. And Mark was, he was trying to make me drink water. And I would only drink it out of a bowl. And he was trying to take the bowl off me. And I was like, Mark, fuck off, it's soup. And then he was like, okay. But then he invited us to his house about a year later. So he can't really, it didn't, you know, it was fine.
Perhaps he had an influx of Campbell's that he'd bought from a shop he needed to get rid of. And he was like, I know loves fucking soup.
No,
get
hot milk in ya. Heinz only girl. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
I fucking hate soup.
Yeah, you do.
Why would you eat a drink?
Yeah, you have bread with it. Garlic bread is not a soup. Yeah, but then you don't eat it then. You only eat it with a fucking, like, vessel.
It's rogue. All that shit. Like, who drinks tomato juice? Who is gazpacho?
You know what? I can't describe it, but soup is straight. Do you know what I mean? Soup is really straight. And I can't describe it why, but it is.
Fair enough. Oh, fucking hell. Who wants
don't give me a
drink?
Fucking soup. Do not give me a soup as a starter. That's just go straight to the main. Fuck me.
I love your hatred. I love
it's
it.
Just, it's pointless. Because what ends up happening is you sit down for a meal and you get given a soup, but you've already got a drink. So you've got two liquids.
You become
one's
really
hot,
swishy.
One's cold. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, time for my main. Wait, I'm full of liquid.
Yeah. To be fair, you must have had my mum's leek and potato soup, but she not made you that for you before.
No.
Sharon's leek and potato soup slams, mate. It's fucking sick. It's got chunks in it, so it's not as liquid easy. Anyway, soup chat's over. Let's move on.
Why isn't a coffee a soup? Because it's a hot drink.
It's got a point. It's basically it's bean soup because it's made from a bean.
Hang on. I'm Googling what defines soup. What defines soup?
Since we're down this rabbit hole, I've had a jokingly argument with people before about this sentence. So I want your opinion on this. Hot chocolate, when it's cold, is just chocolate milkshake.
No, it's just chocolate by definition. Because if it's hot, then it's hot chocolate. So then it's just chocolate. Soup is a liquid dish, typically savory and made by boiling meat, fish, or vegetables in stock or water. That sounds fucking hanging.
It said mainly savory.
Mainly
so
savory.
What the fuck is the sweet soup that I've missed out on? What
porridge.
The fuck is this?
Porridge. Lovely porridge. Do you not like porridge, do you, James?
Can I eat anything that is like minging? Like squishy thick. Don't have milk in my cereal because it turns into sweet soup.
Yeah, he just eats cereal dry with the sweet.
That's wrong. I disagree with that.
He doesn't like hot milk. He doesn't like anything. He doesn't like tea. He doesn't like a cup of tea.
He doesn't like cold milk. Yeah.
He doesn't do milk.
I don't like cold milk. I just feel like if the cereal was meant to be squishy, someone would have chewed it up, spat it back out in the box, and sent it out. And that would be cereal.
What do you like, James?
Oh, not a lot. Mezcal. I'm going to be such a good, grumpy old man. I like mezcal.
Tell them about your allergy test that you did. This is really, really great content.
Oh, it is.
So you snip a bit of your hair off and you send it off and it tells you, like, it goes through, like, metals that I'm allergic to. E numbers, because, like, I'm going to fucking sit and read through every E number. But I found out I'm allergic to dairy. Fair enough, being in a fucking dairy band. Edamame beans.
Oh, gutted.
Tequila and beer.
Sad state of affairs, really.
You've drunk them before. What was the adverse reaction? Did you get an adverse reaction, or could this thing be lying?
I turn into Kirby. I turn into fucking Kirby. I just swell.
Yeah, he gets like a really sore tummy and goes, "Oh, honey, my tummy hurts." And I'm like, "You've drunk a beer. What did you expect?" And he'll, before he drinks, I go, "Are you sure you want to do that? You're going to complain?" And he'll go, I want it. I deserve it. I need a beer. And then like 10 minutes later, "Oh, my tummy hurts. Honey, my tummy hurts." He expects me to sort his tummy out for him. And I'm like, "Why? What am I going to do? I'm not magic."
Hannah hates magicians. Hannah hates magicians.
Hey, go for it. Get it out there.
Yeah, come
magicians,
on.
Right? Magicians. Just fucking liars, aren't they? Just liars. Just tricky liars. Like, no, there is no magic. It doesn't exist. Stop lying. And they've always got about something about them that's a bit weird. You've never met a normal, like, lad that's just a fucking, like, that is a magician. They've always got a little bit of something going else on. And I'm just like, just go away. Like,
saying that, wouldn't you want to go to that place in LA?
Magic Castle? Magic Castle?
Yes.
I want to go to Magic Castle. And for that, I will quash my hatred of magicians. But I want the cocktails. They look nice.
Yo, think how many socially awkward magicians must be in that Magic Castle serving people.
Oh, exactly. Imagine the terror that we could cause. Imagine the terror.
It would just be like people going up to each other instead of being like, "Hey, what's your name?" It would be like, "Hey, rabbit."
Oh, I could take Jingle.
Oh, God. I hate Jingle.
Jingle?
Fucking Jingle.
What's Jingle? Cat?
No, it's a...
Evil puppet. It's an evil puppet.
He's not evil. He's not evil.
Oh, my God, I guessed right.
Oh, my God.
Is it? It's my horrible. Best mate. It's your best mate. I took him to Glastonbury with me, and he made so many mates because I was so spangled I couldn't talk, so it just became my conduit of communication. And also, at Glastonbury, you get lost. Not to be the person that goes on about Glastonbury all year round, but it is like home. You know, because people have flags. I stuck the puppet in the air and all my mates just followed Jingle, and Jingle was the king. But I love
him. I'd say Jingle's more of a jester.
No, he's a king. In my world, he's king.
Nice. Well, I was definitely never expecting to see a terrifying hand puppet today. So that was new.
I think it's the first puppet on the podcast, to be honest.
Know what? Puppet right. I want to increase visibility for puppets worldwide.
I don't want to say to that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
No, but I just love how unapologetically you guys are. And that must be great when being in this industry for so long and seeing...
That's a really good way of saying idiots.
No, come on. We love the chaos. You know that. But I'm sure there's people in the industry that don't know how to take you sometimes. It's either very refreshing for them or they're just thinking, what the fuck are these two on?
It's because they've not really realised that this isn't real life yet. Do you know what I mean? It's supposed to be about music. It's supposed to be about having a nice time. But unfortunately, when you're in your early days of being in a band, it's still really cool. It's still like, oh, I've got access to this. I can go here. It's like, get a grip. Guess what? You're going to be poor and you're going to have no money and you're going to die. So it's just like, just get a puppet in it. Just have a nice time. And like, we always just say the more the merrier. We have an open door policy. Like, we want to play a good gig. We want to write good music. We want to connect to some people. We want to just fucking have a party, man. And like, that's my dream, is just be a big host. Just love being a host.
That was beautiful, right? It was beautifully said, but the constant little ringing of a bells, right?
Yo, was fucking genius. This is me tracking Hannah. She wears so much fucking jewelry. I listen to her vocal takes after, and it's just like, just one up, ching, 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 ching. It's like fucking tracking a knight.
I was about to say, Hannah, take the armor off before you go into the booth.
Shink, 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 shink. Fucking hell, percussion heavy, this song.
I was going to say, I can imagine someone really listening on good headphones and be like, oh, there's actual percussions. They've tried to sneak in these little bots.
Yeah, playing like Lars, all out of time.
Oh, Lars.
Somebody's going to listen to this episode and go, do they record this on Christmas time? I can hear reindeer bells. I'm like, no, it's Hannah's puppet. It's Hannah's puppet. Yeah, for the photo jingle at the end now, for the photo at the end, we're going to have jingle in shot, definitely. So please keep them there. Why am I talking like they're a real person?
Please keep them there.
Whoa.
He's a lot of people's boyfriend.
A lot of people's?
Mm. Yeah, he's two-timing little shit is what he is. But, you know, he's a lot of people's boyfriend, that boy.
Hannah, after slagging off magicians,
yes,
you've just outed yourself as this weird puppet master, which is, yes, to me, on a level with magicians now.
No, I'm not lying.
Oh, you're not lying. No. Yeah, well, you are, because that's... Oh, how do I break this to you? It's not a real person, is it?
Whoa. It's my psychotic break. It's my psychotic break, thank you very much. And I'll be allowed to have my psychotic break in public. So when I do finally go down and get put away, people are like, how did you not see it coming? And it's all your fault.
We saw Dave Grohl at fucking Glastonbury. And he came over and was like, oh, nice to see you guys. How are you? I start having a normal conversation. Hannah comes over and goes, why haven't you greeted Jingle? Why haven't you greeted Jingle? And Dave's just like, who the fuck is Jingle?
No, he went, what's up, Jingle?
And then immediately walked off mid-sentence because he was just like, you are fucking weird.
That's fucking brilliant. What you got to think is, right, the amount of people who probably spotted him at Glastonbury and gave him all these, like, oh my God, amazing compliments and, like, really fangirling out about it. And you've just gone, right, puppet to the face.
Oi, talk to this bastard.
Yeah. I went, are you forgetting something, Dave? And he was like, what? You're not saying hello to Jingle, have you? Me. I just think it's just so fun in games, isn't it? It doesn't have to be like, good to see you, mate. Good to see you. No. Oh, great set. You know, it's like, obviously it's a great set. And obviously it was amazing because I cried my eyes out. But it's like, you know what? For the jingle bit, I'm gonna have a, and also I was at Glastonbury. Let me have a day off.
Right, enough Glastonbury talk.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's put that to bed.
Let's play it next year instead of just going and being a dickhead.
Yeah.
I had to put James. Hang on, I won't tell that story. That's too far. But anyway.
Ooh.
James was shit faced on the Sunday night, and I had to.
I was
someone.
Not shit faced. You were. I was married.
You were. I had to go up to. I had to go to Blossoms. We're like, you take James back to Manchester with you.
I was just enjoying Queens of the Stone Age, all right? Mm-hmm. I've wanted to see him for fucking years, and I finally got to see them. So, yeah. Fuck you for calling me out for being too pissed. I was just having fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope one day that we get Dave Grohl on this podcast so I can ask him about Jingles. because when you think about it, right, Dave Grohl, he has met some absolutely wild people, like literally... Yeah. Crazy, like he was in a band with some meth heads, you know, that type of thing.
He was.
But surely Jingles has got to be a new level of loveliness, I'll go for, not madness, but yeah, he's got to be. Yeah, I wonder when the last time before you, Dave Grohl was greeted by a puppet. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think sometimes when you get to that level, things must get pretty boring. Do you know what I mean? Like the same 100%. Day. Over and over again, the same kind of conversations that are all kind of like surface level. I mean, even we're getting to that point with some people. You know what I mean?
It's, no, I'm not like, getting to that point because I'm stuck with you. Every day's a fucking new day.
Well, that's the thing. You've got to have someone that mixes it up a bit and keeps it exciting. And like, just, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm doing a service, really.
Keeping everyone entertained, keeping everyone on their toes.
Well, you know, exactly. the class clown forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the best way to be. And I'm sure Sean's grinning at that as well. But, you know.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah.
Shall we talk about our album or something?
We should. Right, we should probably get into that, I guess. I mean, you know, it's a big deal.
Right, I'll go first. I'll go first then, Morg. Oh, any good to her?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. I think it's pretty good. I think there's some great, great songs on there. I think they're the best songs we've ever done. So does that make it feel like it's a good album?
Does that make it good? Well, if the other songs are shite, then
not really. No, I think we're quietly confident. I don't want to be like, you know, we wrote it because it needed to be written. It wasn't really like we're writing an album now. It was kind of just like, it's honestly the rawest and most real thing that we've ever done with our lives. It's our life's work so far. And I think it is what it is. It's just a conduit from our brains and hearts. And if people like it, then that's up to them, isn't it?
We don't hate it yet, which is a big thing for us, because we go out of love of our songs pretty quickly, pretty frequently. But the fact that like we're still able to listen to these without like cringing or just thinking like, oh, fucking skip this, is, you know, says quite a lot for the songs. And I don't know, I feel like you get like two births of a song. You get a birth where it comes out on the studio version, and then again when you play it live. And the fact that currently we're starting to look towards November, where we're playing all these brand new songs for the first time, is like super exciting. And they're kind of getting like a bit of changes here and there. So it is, I'm really excited about it. I'm probably the most excited I've been in Hot Milk thus far about a release.
I think it's because as well, I just think that like musically we've really challenged ourselves, and I think that we've really, you know, outdone ourselves, and I think we've done some really kind of, you know, musical stuff that, you know, is kind of actually good. Like, I just think so when we were writing it, I was like, oh, look at us putting a key change in a song. Who do we think we are? You know, I felt like I might be a musician. You know what I mean? It was,
I'm doing the music.
Yeah, James always goes to me when we do something good in a studio. He turns to me and goes, I'm a producer. I'm a producer. I was like, you're a producer. We're like, oh, you're such a producer right now. Like, I don't know, I just think we did some good stuff that we're really proud of. And that's not to say that this is the best thing we'll ever do. Like, I feel like we've still got loads of growing, and there's always room for improvement. But I think in terms of realness and getting out the pain from my head and heart, that it was like the closest I've ever come to representing how I feel in music.
Well, that's the thing. And you mentioned there being kind of separation between some of the older songs and falling out of love with them quite quick. I mean, is that just because you are all constantly growing up and you're trying different things in music? Or do you see the past material as like a snapshot of certain chapters of your life? I mean, how would you like explain that relationship between being excited about the song and then falling out of love with it maybe slightly a little bit later?
Well, it's not all songs, is it, Jim?
No, I feel like this is kind of the most like on the pulse we've been with, like, in terms of having a song when we've written it and it's still being current now. Like, but if you look back, like a lot of the songs we had in the locker, or, you know, we've been sat on for like a long time, so it wasn't really relevant by the time, you know, you're always looking ahead to the next thing as musicians, like constantly putting out old material. So with this, you know, being really finished in January,
it's all kind of still fresh. Like, it's still the most reactive that there's been. But I will say about like not liking older songs or whatever, it's not that I don't like them, it's that maybe when we wrote them, like the day we wrote it wasn't like a good day. So I associate that song sometimes with being in a bad state of mind, or maybe I didn't like the way that it came out live. It's not just I don't like it for one reason. Sometimes it can be like, I just remember the day we wrote that song and I was in a bad mood that day. And so every time I play that song, it puts me back into that state of mind. So I don't like playing it. So it's like, there's loads of different reasons why, like, I fall out of love with the song. That's not to say that I ever want the fans not to like the song. Like, obviously that makes it better. The more people that like a song that I don't like, that makes me like it more. So, you know, it's just one of those. I'm quite, like, what's the word, emotive about everything. Like, I have an opinion about everything. I either love or hate things. I'm like, don't like that. Don't like that. You know, but then I next day I can be like, oh, I love that now. You know, I don't know how I'm going to feel. I'm so up and down. I'm so unpredictable as a person, so.
But no, it's good to hear that you still like this record while you've been living with it, especially Jim, with you producing it as well. Like, you must have at one point got sick of, like, listening to the drums and, like, fucking just going over it. And yeah, how was that for you producing it?
I can't remember who it was, but I remember someone saying that, like, when you're going through producing a record, it's sometimes quite fun just to change the key of songs, or like just put in new bits. Was it Deadmau5? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was actually. And I did that a little bit to kind of keep me sane. When I was editing vocals, maybe I'd just move, you know, change the key of the instruments. I don't know. It was fucking stressful because I've never had to deal with that much work in a short period of time ever. But, I don't know, it's quite easy to say now it's all fucking done, isn't it? But back then I was probably like, I'm fucking sick of this shit!
You were.
So I'm going to say, yeah, I had loads of fun and I can't wait to do the next one.
Nice. Will you be taking on offers from other bands to produce work now?
100%, yeah. I like, and that's, you know, me working with other bands, but that's also in terms of, like, I love collaborating with people. Like, it opens doors to kind of like new territories that you might not have explored on your own, or you learn new tips. You every day's a school day when you're writing with other people, or like collaborating with other people. So I fucking love it. But that's something that me and Han have spoken about for a while, is kind of working as songwriters for other people, because we get to do some cool shit. We love like all kinds of music, so it'd be really, really cool to kind of explore other territories and, you know, good top liner and lyricist. So I feel like it would be a good little combo.
Yeah, have you had any chances with that yet? Have you had any gateways to just focus on other people's music?
Producing wise, I've kind of done a little bit here and there, and I've done some kind of like rights for syncs and stuff like that. But in terms of bands, we've not really had time because we've been so focused on like getting our shit sorted.
Jim's been doing a lot of scoring for independent films recently. Scores have been really, really cool that you've come out with. It's so funny watching him talk at this premiere of this film to these people. He had a suit on. He was like, well, the score sound is just, you know, he's got to feel the, visual. And I was just like, mate, who are you? But for real, he's super talented. And James is one of those really annoying people that just can do everything. He's just annoying.
Bastard. Yeah. Oh. Absolute fuckers. Like.
Indeed.
Imagine if he just left. No. Imagine if he just went, oh, is it? Bang. Out.
But I feel like throughout like the whole process of the band, like you two always joke about loving and hating each other and everything in between. But is there things you've learned about one another that maybe surprised you, or little things maybe you don't like, especially throughout this album or just the last couple of years in particular?
What don't you like about me, Jane?
Hey, we've done that bit of the podcast that we don't like. Oh, yeah. I don't like how super you are.
Pretty super.
I don't know. I feel like it's not like I didn't know that about you. Like, we've known each other and we've been in each other's pockets for so long now. It's not really like about learning about each other. It's more about like the experiences that go up, you know, that we experience together or separately or whatever, and then bringing that into the band. So that's been quite interesting to kind of like, I guess with this album, it's been about how we've dealt with like the pressures of being in a band, you know, financial implications, the constant touring, the downtime, the highs, the lows, everything in between, and like how
we've kind of like dealt with it both as a band and as individuals. So I think like that for me has been kind of interesting, especially with like the necessity of having this album, well, having to do this album and having to make it good, I think has been a big whirlwind, hasn't it, Anne?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mad one, but we got each other, I guess, and we had each other before Hot Milk, and I'm sure we'll have each other afterwards as well. So it's one of them that, like, not that I want Hot Milk to ever end, but I think in terms of knowing each other, like, we did 5 or 6 years of knowing each other before we started writing music together. So I think we kind of seen each other's insides at this point.
Each other's soup.
Yeah, each other's soup.
Aww.
That's great. Take yeah. that how you will.
Sounds like me and Morgan. Oh no.
Oh.
Share your soup. Share your soup with him, Morgan.
Share your soup. If we all combined our soup together, can we sell it? We might make some money.
No. Whoa, no. This is.
We might start a new race if we do that. Some primordial soup vibes.
Would people buy it though? That's what I'm asking. I don't know. Like, I'm sure mix it.
Not our fucking sec. Yeah, not our portion of it, Morg. Theirs, maybe. Nobody fucking wants. I don't know what our soup is. I feel sick thinking about whatever it might be. Let's stop now, please.
Do like a ready, steady cook thing. Everyone brings three ingredients, and we see what we come up with.
Oh God, alive.
I choose glitter and toes.
Right, I'm going to come with hot chocolate and cold chocolate to the same place. Right, let's move on. Quick, move on.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure where you really go from that.
No. Well, this podcast, isn't it? It's fucking. It goes crazy, especially with you guys. But
can you call this podcast Soup? Like this episode, Soup.
Soupin'.
What's Soupin'?
There you go, there's the intro. Soupin'!
There's a merch idea as well. Soupin'. Here we go.
Nice.
But I don't want to dive too much into certain songs and what they're about with this podcast, because I always feel like, you know, songs are up for interpretation and things like that. But with Breathing Underwater, I've seen the both of you talk about how hard this was to kind of write and record into a big moment in particular. Why do you think that was compared to any other songs? Was it just kind of like at certain topics behind the scenes or struggles in the past? Or was it just a breakthrough moment with this song where you thought, oh, I can open up a little bit more?
I actually think it was the easiest one to write, ironically. It was the first song we wrote. I was in pieces. I was crying on a sofa. The first day, we'd done 3 months touring. Was in LA and we were like, okay, we're starting the album now. And I was like, oh, what do? Like, I want to go to my mum. Like, I'm fucking tired. I hadn't eaten properly. I was like, literally so tired. And then so, you know, we were working with this other guy, Good Zach, and we was just like, well, why don't you just write about that? Like, how you're feeling? And then it just all came out like really quickly. I remember like sitting on a little swivelly chair, like I'm sitting on right now, and just swirling around and writing. And just coming up with the verses, and then we track them in. And I can't really remember like how we did the choruses and stuff, but I think it was that quick that it just happened. But I think the thing that took a while was how we were going to do that key change. That was a bit that took a while.
Fucking hell! Yeah, I think over there we ended up writing the verses and the chorus. Yeah,
yeah.
And then we came. Oh no! Yeah, it was first verse, chorus, and then we came back. And the amount of fucking Jesus Christ. The amount of things you've got to do to make a key change to work, because you can go like anywhere with it. We were like, that one? No, that one? No. Drum bit in? No. It was exhausting. And
do we go up a whole step? Do we go up 2 steps? Do we go up the half step? Do we go down? It's just like so hard to try and get it. We came up with it again, like in there. We always bring everything back to our shipping container in Manchester. No matter where we write in the world, we always bring it back and finish it in the shipping container. And I remember sat there with a little fucking like tiny heater on in the middle of winter, it's freezing our tits off. And then we were like, da-na-na-na, and we're like, there it is! Yes! Let's get Deliveroo to celebrate.
I could finally eat. I haven't eaten since LA when we started writing this song.
Yeah. Just like bones and flesh coming off me, like, we've done it, James, we've done it. You know. It was a good moment, but yeah, that was a song. But lyrically, was easy to write. In terms of the chords, I think we wanted it to be 3/4. We wanted it to be a waltz. We wanted it to be like emotive. We wanted to do something that we'd never really done before. I think early on it was one of my favorites. It was that and Bloodstream were my two favorites that we came out with.
Well, when you were talking about writing on the swivel chair. Do you mean the whole verse, as in the melody and the lyrics came to you, or did you have the melody first, or did you just have lyrics first?
I think we were kind of just like humming some bits, and I kind of just go, and try and work out where the phonetically we're going with it. And then I kind of apply, I guess, any kind of meanings to it after that. And then one word sparks a whole flurry of different mind palace openings, and I kind of start diving into a vortex of feeling then. But usually we just start with, you know, just like saying bits and bobs out loud that don't really make sense. And then you kind of, you know, mold them in. It's like going into a pottery class, isn't it? And you just kind of mold it into something that kind of resembles the thing that you're feeling at the time. And it's just throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what feels right, isn't it, really, writing?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we sat there with the three of us, we were just literally like, it was like one of those where someone would say something that sparked someone else off, then it would go back to someone else. And it was just like one of those where those four, like we did four songs, we did Bloodstream, Part in My Deathbed, Breathe Underwater, and Horror Show in three days. And it was one of those where we, the first day was just us really fucking about, like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then those next 2 days, it was just like, here we go, songs.
When we're writing out there with Zach, he goes like, Hannah, lyrics now. And you just go, okay, this is what I have. It's like, it's just so quickly. But I like that fastness because it doesn't allow me to overthink too much. It just kind of lets me have immediate conduit for my brain. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I don't know whether I should say this. I don't know if this is how I feel. It's just like, there is no time. This is how you must feel. And I like that.
Yeah, my worry would be if you turn to me and went like, Sean, lyrics now. I just go, today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you.
Like, don't get me wrong.
I know you should have somehow.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, all year round, I have like my notes app. I have it full of like stuff and things to call upon if the brain goes blank. But with Breathing Underwater, that was so off the cuff and so off the heart that it didn't really need to delve into my notes pads. It was just, how do you feel? And that's why I like that song so much.
I'm the same with my notes. Mine is just full of sentences I find funny that I somehow want to turn into lyrics.
Go on then. Read us some.
Can't. We're on my phone. This is my... Like,
good save.
Hey. I've got nothing funny. Come on, man. Come on.
We started inventing new tongue twisters on tour, didn't we, Jim? Do you remember?
Did, yeah. Riddles. Not tongue twisters. It was like riddles and
limericks.
Limericks. There once was a name called...
Was a man from Mansfield that wanted to see how his dad... Something, I don't know. It was something about how dad having a brown cock. Why don't all dads have brown cock?
Do you know what? Yeah, somebody asked somebody else I knew the other day. He's like, when do men's willies start changing colours? And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, they get darker. And I went, I had a look at mine and I went, yeah, it... How's that? What's going on here? Is it... yeah, it's like the opposite of tanning. Like, it's you like think a, because it's like not out in the sun.
Tea-stained egg. Oh, Jim. Jesus Christ. Tea-stained egg. Soy sauce cock.
Why did my stomach just rumble?
you fancy some man soup? You're looking for some man soup? Wait, I've got to write down, because I take notes of what we talk about, I've got to write down brown cock. So there you go. That's new. That's another thing. We've never had a puppet and we've never talked about brown cocks before, but here we are.
I'm so worried /confused/ yeah, I don't even know anymore. What is...
Don't be worried, Morgan. It'll happen to you before you know it.
That's something to look forward to, if anything, I guess. I don't know.
What,
exactly.
What, having a brown cock? If it grows, like, yeah, I'm up for it fucking growing and getting browner.
What,
but don't just get... whatever. Yeah, if it's going to make you happier, you can have a bigger cock. Yeah, whatever, I'm up for it. I'll have a look at it. Kiss a look. Get it up, Morg.
It's not that kind of podcast. You can't go there, man.
Oh, wow.
After,
anyway.
Then, after. We'll do it after.
Is Brown Badger thing before we move on?
Oh.
Right, you carry on. I'm going to have a little Google. Right, you carry on.
I thought you were going to say have a little look.
In elderly women. Elderly women. You carry on. I'm just going to have a look.
I was going to ask because of the song as well. Obviously, you have to do a music video that had underwater scenes. And Sean has talked before about the difficulties of having to film underwater because, you know, sometimes you might die. Any close calls? Was it just fun? What happened there?
We did it in mate's flat swimming pool. It's like a bit grim and it is absolutely filled full of fucking chlorine. Oh my God.
I couldn't see for 3 days afterwards. It was so painful. Yeah. We did it
on my iPhone.
Yeah, on your iPhone.
Wow.
What? Yeah. We were like, how waterproof is this? So I was just like, oh, drop.
It's really good. The iPhone, right? People like don't give it enough credit. Like in terms of like what it can do for those like scenes, it worked perfectly because, you know, it does shoot quite high res, you know, and so we couldn't afford a proper underwater camera. I think this is the cheapest video we've ever made, by the way. We made it right with basically nothing. We just used my mate's shitty little fucking pool in Manchester City Centre and yeah, full of chlorine. It was horrible.
Apple are great. Please endorse us.
Yeah,
the iPhones are fantastic because of all the underwater alien technology that they use to create them.
So, yeah, that's fair.
Look how far technology has come in the last 50 years since the Roswell crash.
Weird that, isn't it? Since it created. Strange. Exactly. We've stolen the things from there, like little microchips.
Mm-hmm. We've come full circle. I love it. Yes. I love the way we've come full circle. But yeah, go on, Mark.
As we start winding down on this conversation a little bit, I mean, you seem very, very excited. Well, scared/excited/proud of this record. But for people checking that out, is there anything in particular that you really hope they kind of take away from it or kind of just feel when listening?
I think I've always said I want people to leave feeling exhausted yet full. I think that comes down to the shows as well, which I think is what I would like to tie this in with, I guess, is that we're just really excited to give them a live experience as well that marries up with this record because, you know, we're putting together a show that reflects the journey of it that I don't think people will expect from us. It's, you know, it's going to be really cool to see and to look at and to experience. I think that's the thing. We want it to feel like an experience. You want the album to feel like, you know, at the end of it, like, fucking like, Jesus Christ, Hot Milk, that was a bit much, you know. I'd love them to feel like they want more, but also at the same time, feel like it served a purpose for them as well, because it served a purpose for us. And if they can find the thing in it that we felt, then that we've done our job, really. So, yeah, I just feel like them to feel exhausted yet full.
And you, Jim, same or?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, like, listening to albums the way that the artist kind of intends, so like just putting it on and just, you know, putting your headphones on, close your eyes and just kind of like allow the, you know, journey to kind of go in front of you and just kind of, I don't know, I really hope people like it because, like you said, we are proud of it, and I don't say that lightly because I'm a fucking perfectionist and everything stresses me out, but I'm stoked on how this record sounds, and you know, everyone that worked on it worked really hard, and I'm excited, scared, and what was the other one? Proud.
Yeah.
Proud.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I'm very excited. I purposely, I've stopped, I don't know if we have been sent the link for it, but I purposely don't listen till release day now because I don't want to be a wanker who will get excited by things and be like, I've heard the Hot Milk album, you guys are going to love it. I just don't want to be one of them twats. Like.
Well, you could be one of them twats. Fuck it. But yeah, but let us know what you actually think in private. You can say it's shit. Like,
very soupy. Very soupy in the middle.
Soupy in the middle there, mate. I want to get some bread. I want to get some bread involved.
A lot of jingling in the background for some reason. Don't know what that's about.
December, the song. Just Anna going and dancing for us a whole song, and it's just fucking percussion all over it.
Watch them all turn up to the gig in November with puppets now. What a dream. What a fucking dream that would be. I would cry my eyes out.
I'm out to a sea of hand puppets. I would be gone.
There's loads of hand puppets in the audience. Oh, God.
Why don't you sell puppet versions of the two of you?
Oh, stop it. Can we do that?
Oh, it's a next. Oh,
where's Mike Keegan?
Here we go. Here's the idea. Here's the idea. Holly, write this down.
Can we do puppets?
Oh, puppets for the next video, right? Of you two. Then start selling them other gigs. And then you can have giant ones on stage. It could be an old thing. You'll make a fucking fortune off the back of this. And I only want 5%.
This is only something. This is something that pleases me, but really disturbs Jim. So I don't feel like that's just for me. Let's do it on a sly.
Let's do it on a sly. Han, me and you can do it.
When we've earned our millions, I'll take you on my submarine. How's that?
Yeah, that's nice. Yes, please. Yes, please. Thank you. I can't wait.
This is when you see me and Sean outside your gigs now, just selling counterfeit puppets.
If you do that, I will piss myself. That would be so good. I think I'd want to just stay out. I'd stay out there all night with you guys doing a little thing.
Get a booth for everything. Oh, there we are. We've sorted something out. We've sorted something. But saying all this, I mean, obviously, you've got a lot of the tour dates coming up as well and throughout the UK, and then you're going to be doing some massive shows with the Foo Fighters in Australia. And stadium shows next summer.
I've just had a phone call. I think we've been kicked off.
Yeah, thank you.
Dave's terrified of puppets. He never mentioned it before, but now he's just realised what's going to happen. Shit. Oh, bugger. But yes, thank you for this. Thank you for your time. I fucking love speaking to you guys. This is always the most fun podcast. And yeah, thank you very, very much. You are fucking superstars. I cannot wait to hear the record, and good luck with the tour in November because it's fucking massive.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us. Can't wait to see you in my dressing room stealing my beers.
Stealing Jim's beers. Actually helping Jim out by drinking the beers so he doesn't get
them. Absolutely. I was going to say, we're in Cardiff in a couple of weeks.
Right, well, let's fucking hang out then.
On the 7th, we're doing some in-stores. So.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, we'll come down and I'll drink your in-store beer. Oof.
Yeah. Yummy.
Right, thank you, boys. Thank you very much.
I need a wee, so I've got to go for
exactly.
a wee.
I need a wee. I've drunk this whole Gatorade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yes! That was the mighty Hannah and Jim from the wonderful Hot Mill.
Whoa, hang on. Don't forget about Jingles. And Jingles of Hot Mill. Our new favourite member of Hot Milk, I might add.
The only member of Hot Milk we genuinely like is Jingles, which is a break in Hannah's psyche when she loses her mind and she got a cold hand. She puts on Mr. Jingles and comes to... What a mad story. I was not expecting the Dave Grohl to meet Jingles. I hope we have Dave Grohl on because I want to ask him. I will spend as much of that interview as I can talking about Jingles more than I will talk about Foo Fighters or Nirvana.
As I said, I don't think anyone's ever come up to him with a puppet before. Have you got to think at Glastonbury, you know, he was there all weekend playing as many fucking sets as he could. So imagine how many people went up to him, gave him like the sob story or the love, like, oh, I love your band, your music's changed my life, blah, 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 blah. And then these two come up to him with a puppet.
Doc Martin shorts and a fucking puppet. Here it comes. Bang. Here's fucking Jingles.
Oh, you're absolutely mental.
It just got me thinking, and you're talking about how many sets he did. I wonder how much he got paid. Oh. Like, did he get paid? Oof. Some people he guested with, I guess. It's just that's a friend's thing, isn't it? But yeah. I wonder if there was any point that he's like, well, I will do it, but I'm going to need 60 quid. Because times are hard in the Foo Fighters. You know, making millions of pounds.
Hard life. But no, Hot Milk's debut album, A Call to the Void. Go and check it out. So happy that they could finally get to this milestone. And they're going to be touring intensely across the UK and Europe in November. And this week, they're actually around the country doing some acoustic shows and signings. I believe there's dates left in London, Birmingham, Cardiff, and Newcastle. Hot Milk coming to Newcastle.
Yes, they are. Straight from Newcastle into Sao Paulo, Brazil, obviously.
the perfect tour dates. But speaking of... dates and tours and that world of people going to buy tickets. A lot of people did buy tickets to one of a show that is sold. Make this make sense. You're a sellout, basically. How's that?
So Cardiff, the Great Hall on the Blackout Tour is now sold out in your face. If you are Welsh and you were hoping to wait until Christmas to buy a ticket. Ha ha ha. But there's plenty of tickets to Birmingham. So please, if you were thinking about coming to Cardiff, and now you can't because it's absolute chock-a-block sold out, please think about coming to Birmingham. I understand it's 2 hours away, but it's going to be a fucking great night in an absolutely massive venue.
Hey! The Blackout Tour, February 2024. Let me try and guess all this right. Manchester, Glasgow, Cardiff. No, Birmingham, then Cardiff, then London.
I don't know. I think it might be Cardiff. I don't know, but I should have it in front of me, shouldn't I? I don't know. How many times have I fucking posted this, like, and I haven't remembered? It's sucking. Anyway, yeah, but check out the blackoutband.com if you're interested. We've got merchandise for sale there, and tickets are up and linked via that website, so theblackoutband.com. Cheers, guys. Please come along again. Still sorting support. Been sorting crew this week. I've recently found out that in the 8 years we've been gone, crew were somehow the maddest paid people on earth, right, when it comes to fucking music. The wages have doubled in the 8 years, so that's great news. Absolutely great news.
Yeah!
I had to go and check the Spotify. I was like, what? Spotify started paying bands equally? Oh, no, they haven't. No, people just want... People who work for bands just want to charge more so they can. Unbelievable. Amazing. Thank you. Yes. So now I've got to, I'm looking at crew and I'm like, can they bring 500 people with them? No, they can't. What are they going to do? Just monitors, is it? For how much? More than I'm getting. Fucking all over the five shows. That's amazing. Thank you for one show. Anyway, so that's all fun. So check out theblackoutband.com. Please buy a ticket because I need to pay the staff.
Ah, see, that's the things you don't hear about in normal day.
I just want to play shows with my friends. I don't want to have to fund somebody's family for a year because they're coming out with us for a week. It doesn't make sense to me.
Any jobs I can do?
Right off. No, but like, fuck off. I'm not getting anybody else on the gravy train. It's horrible. People come up, I'll do it. Will you? Yeah, how much you on? Fucking more money than I've ever seen. Yeah, of course you fucking do. Guess what? So do I. But I'm not fucking having it.
All right, then. Well, you can't have me in.
What? Yeah, so that's mad. That's mad. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, musicians need to get in a fucking union and strike because it's fucking mental. How the fuck do you learn to tune a guitar and then you're worth more than someone who's bringing 3,000 people to a venue? It doesn't make sense to me, but here we are. Here we are complaining again. Got my band back together. Should be finally happy. Not because fucking business still exists.
Yeah! Misery business. But speaking of happiness, I went to watch the All Elite Wrestling in Wembley Stadium. And I was very happy with that.
Nice. I watched it on YouTube in bed because I was ill. I had the COVID. I had the coronavirus 2019 version. Somehow intense thigh pain. Don't know what that's about. Yeah, that was fun. I felt like Roberto Carlos in 1994.
My thighs were fucked.
My thighs are fucking huge and tense.
Wow.
But yeah, so I was real ill, so I'm glad you had a good time. I would like to give a shout out to Kip Sabian, AEW wrestler, who messaged me like a week before saying that he had a spare ticket for it, but I couldn't go because I was fucking super ill. So thank you very much to Kip. What a great event. And they've announced they're doing one next year as well.
Yeah, coming back already in 2024, which is absolutely insane. But no, it was mad to see 81,000 wrestling fans in the UK, all in a giant venue like that, taking it over. Had a lot of fun booing and screaming and cheering and shouting, baby, and all this kind of stuff. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. If you haven't already, go back and listen to last week's episode with AEW wrestler Ruby Soho, who I thought had the best payday because she flew all the way over there to run. She ran out, ran into the ring, took a slap, and then walked out. So, yeah. I mean, not a bad trip. Not a bad trip.
It's a hell of a commute for work, really, isn't it?
It is. It's a hell of a commute, but and Grado turned up.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see that. Weren't we at Grado on this? This is why I don't understand. I'm friends with Grado, so the fact that he hasn't come on yet is madness to me. So we should really sort that out. I did also see that he didn't... Because if he'd got Madonna for Grado, that would have been fucking class. But yeah. I also understand that she's a tight bitch. So
Like a Prayer was probably very, very expensive.
They got Metallica for Stingo.
Yeah, so, and they had Queen for Soraya. So...
Yeah. So, yeah. Nice one, Madonna.
If you have any suggestions of people you'd like to hear on this podcast, not please Madonna. Let us know at SatninPod on Twitter and Instagram. Maybe Madonna. I don't know.
Do you know what? I'm refusing that now. If we ever get an email from Madonna's PR company going, oh, will you do Madonna? I'll go, fuck off. I'll go, yeah. If I can have the rights to Like a Prayer.
Oh, any other suggestions, let us know. And please support this podcast via patreon.com/sapnin if you want to get involved with a bunch of people who also listen to this absolute madness and go to gigs together, go to festivals together, have a good laugh, share memes, help each other out in weird and bad circumstances as well. I saw a lot of them go into holding absence signings in HMVs across the country. And all stuff like that is very, very wholesome. So patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we always thank. But Sean's going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin podcast Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tiers.
Yes, thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Owen, Tasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Alexandra Pemblant, and Kat Besant, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Nathan White, Jenny Robson, one sock cutter, he cuts socks, two sock cutters, they cut socks, three cut sock cutters, they cut socks. Thank you very much. Murray Grimwood, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robinson, Kate Patak, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, M. Evans Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Foynes, Emily Perry, Vicky, Kalila Keane, Ollie Ainsbury, Adam King of the Ghost Parcel, Josh, what do you call a typo on a tombstone? A grave mistake. Crisp. Thank you very much. Joe Janway, Kyle David-Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family!
Ooh, we love and appreciate every single person there. All of very, them. Very much. Everyone, if you're in the group, whatever, help us. If you subscribe to this, listen to this, it just helps us so much. Next week is episode 250. That is a big deal. So we're very proud and gobsmacked that we've been able to get that far. But if you don't like me and you want me to say some very funny phrases or words or made up names on next episode, every 50th episode, I read out the names. So join the Patreon.
Yes.
Make up something funny and I will probably struggle to read it next week.
Ah, good. Yes, check it out. Patreon.com/Sapnin. At Sapnin Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and all that. Give malarkey. Right then. Let people get on with their weeks then, is there what?
Yeah, that's enough bollocks. So just go and enjoy real life bollocks.
What am I doing this weekend? I considered going to the new venue in Merthyr Tydfil to see, they're having a new metal night where they got loads of covers bands.
Ooh!
Just because you're wondering, Evanescence are playing. It's not Evanescence. Korn again, which I'm hoping isn't, Brian Head Welsh's Christian rock band, because that would be awful to go and see Korn again.
No.
Who else was it? System of Down, I can't remember what they were called. It's got to be something like Chop Suey UK or something.
There is a Chop Suey band, I think.
There you go. Yeah. And of course, last but not least, there's a Marilyn Manson tribute. So,
see you next week, everyone. Love you. Bye.
Da-da-da. Bananarama. Bananarama. Banana. Bananarama. Bananarama, banana.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.